It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation. Welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. It is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well, and go over to Facebook and give me a like. I love hearing from you. I'm a little behind on emails, so I will be working on that this weekend. I love hearing from you. We've got a great show planned for you today. We'll be talking, going through headlines in this first segment, talking with Lauren Levy and Karen Levine in segment two, and then Rick Turnquist in segments three and four. Be sure and go to my website. We have Rick Turnquist's new op-ed up there, The Perfect Storm. The image, producer Steve, that Zach has put together on that, just it makes me smile, I guess. It's very, very creative what he has done with Governor Polis on that.
If you're into stormy weather and kite flying, yeah, it's awesome.
So be sure and check that out. It's The Perfect Storm there on my website. As we are looking at these issues, we look at them as Rudyard Kipling says. You know, we need to put our thinking cap on. What happened to that? I remember as a kid, you know, it says, put your thinking cap on. The things that we said on the playground, they were freedom things. Like somebody would, you know, make a statement. Don't you remember? You'd say, prove it. Gosh, these days, somebody says, science says, or experts say, and instead of prove it, people are like, oh, yeah, okay, I'll capitulate. I'll give you all my civil rights. It's been absolutely astonishing. But Rudyard Kipling says, I keep six honest serving men. They taught me all I knew. Their names are what? And why and when and how and where and who. So, Steve, are you getting your thinking cap on this morning?
Yeah, I set it kind of here on the console, thinking I could put it away for the weekend, but I better get it on again.
You better get it on because we've got a lot to talk about. We look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Or freedom versus fear, fear versus freedom. And, you know, we've got this amazing team that I get to work with. You, producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and the team here at Crawford Broadcasting. And really appreciate all of you. And I thank each of you listeners as well. You're each are treasured. You're valued. You have a purpose. Be productive and industrious today. And take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And Patty does an amazing job on this research. And when we look at freedom versus force, force versus freedom, I want to go over to this headline that she has. And actually, somebody, as this was happening, had texted me a headline on this as well. But this is from CBC and the Associated Press. And Hong Kong, the Hong Kong legislature clashes again as pro-Beijing lawmaker elected key committee chair. And what is important about this is that I go down, Steve, into the third paragraph. It says that the pro-democracy Kwok was replaced Friday by Sean Kin Poor, who was appointed by the legislature's president to preside over Monday's election. After scuffles and shouting matches led to Chan ejecting most of the pro-democracy lawmakers, the election took place with pro-Beijing lawmaker Starry Lee winning easily. That's not that far in some ways from what is happening here in America and what is happening right here in Colorado. And one of the things that comes to mind is this whole mail-in ballot. I actually saw a former Republican legislator who tweeted yesterday, what's the big deal about mail-in ballots? That in fact, Colorado has such a high turnout. As far as voter turnout. But Steve, a lot of people don't even understand what the issues are or who the candidates are. So what if you vote, if you don't know what the heck you're voting on? And so in essence, what you see here is silencing voices, which that goes over to another issue here, and that is due date too late. Go to DueDateTooLate.com and be sure and make sure that you sign this petition. This is a petition to get this on the ballot this November. And the question is should we no longer make it lawful for people to have abortions after 22 weeks? We know at 22 weeks, the baby feels pain. And many people are not aware that right here in Colorado, babies can be aborted right up until the day that they're born. I mean, it's absolutely astonishing. So I think it's important to get this question on the ballot. And so what has happened with Governor Polis is Mr. Executive Order. I mean, can you believe, Steve, how many executive orders are coming from that guy?
I would have done a word count on Patty's brief that she sends us the other day, and the words executive order must have been in there a dozen times. Every time I went to the next paragraph, executive order, executive order. I think he learned this well from a previous president, no names mentioned.
Well, and it's totally antithetical to our constitutional republic and what is going on there. And so what has happened now with Due Date Too Late, this initiative process that we have here in Colorado, first of all, there were people on both sides of the aisle that got something on the ballot. If you'll remember right, let's see, what was it called? Yeah, I can't remember what it's called. Anyway, where it would make it more difficult for citizens to get an initiative on the ballot. In Colorado, I think we're somewhat unique. We have both the legislature and the governor. And of course the judiciary, but we also have what's called the citizen initiative process. And so a few years ago, what happened is they really tightened it up. You had to get signatures from all these different counties, and you had to get a certain number of signatures, and made it much tougher for citizens to get something on the ballot. So Juliana Day has been working really hard to get this on the ballot. And before I forget, I want to mention, go to Colorado Kids First Prop 120. It's 120coloradokidsfirst.org. Again, 120coloradokidsfirst.org. And you can check and see if you signed this initiative to get this on the ballot, or the petition, you can see if your signature was accepted by the Colorado Secretary of State. Astonishing, Steve, mine was not. And there's a lot of people that our signatures were not accepted. If your signature was not accepted, then get to one of these sites this weekend and sign this petition. Next Wednesday night at the parking lot at Water's Edge Winery there in Centennial, if you are a petition circulator, you can go there, and they will have notaries there to notarize these petitions. But go to 120coloradokidsfirst.org to see if your signature was accepted. If not, make sure that you sign that petition again. Okay, so Juliana is having to jump through all kinds of hoops to get this on the ballot. But Mr. Executive Order said all these other initiatives and the radical activists left have things that they want to get on the ballot, a paid family leave, a progressive income tax. And he has, by executive order, Steve, said that they can get their signatures via email and mail-in, if you can believe it, Steve.
Yes, I can believe it. I don't like it, but I can believe it.
So what's the correlation between the headline that I just told you? Is here shutting down voices and basically kind of rigging an election by shutting down voices. It's not that different with what happened over here in China and shutting down voices in Hong Kong. And they did it. There was actually scuffles on the floor as they were kicking out the pro-democracy representatives. And then after those they were out of the room, that's when they took the vote. And so that's why we need to be keeping an eye on this. And so then it goes back to Donald Trump. Way before this whole Wuhan virus thing, years and years before, he was concerned about China. And so do we really want to be dependent or let China become this this world power when they are shutting down voices and actually kicking people out that are representatives of the people? Just keep that in mind, okay? So let's go ahead and jump over here on our quotes. And this, you know, I'm always looking for interesting quotes. And this is by Louis Brandes. He was an American lawyer and associate justice on the Supreme Court of the United States from 1916 to 1939. And that was, you know, that was a real progressive time there. He was born in Louisville, Kentucky, to Jewish immigrant parents from Bohemia. They raised him in a secular home. He attended Harvard Law School, graduating at the age of 20 with what is widely rumored to be the highest grade average in the law school's history. Brandis settled in Boston, where he founded a law firm and became a recognized lawyer through his work on progressive social causes. He was born in 1856. He died in 1941. I have a feeling his quote, the way he looks at it and the way I look at it, might be different. But he said, if we desire respect for the law, we must first make the law respectable. And I will add in there that the law must also be constitutional, Steve, because just making a law, if it's not constitutional, and it could be a law, a rule, a regulation, a city ordinance, an executive order, if they are not constitutional, then I would submit to you that they are not not really, when we talk about rule of law, that is not really a law. If it is not constitutional, it has to cut the mustard to being constitutional, Steve.
Well, my thinking kind of went off in another direction because I am so obsessed with the amount of wrongdoing in, you know, at the national level and the local level too, I guess, and no price is ever paid for it. And therefore, to me, that the rule of law is under attack. The whole concept of the rule of law seems to be slipping away from us. So, you know, that's where my thinking took me when I saw this quote.
Well, it truly is slipping away from us, which goes to another item that I want to bring forward, and that is the Fourth Amendment was put in place. And we had Ben Martin on the show on Tuesday to talk about, you know, the Constitution. He's doing this amazing show each month on America, the important documents and speeches of America's founding. And we did not get to Patrick Henry on Tuesday, so we're going to be recording a podcast with him this morning. We'll be recording another podcast with Dr. Jill Vecchio. She's going to be on fire. And then yesterday recorded one with Steve Peck. He is a former Douglas County School Board member. He's a veteran of the Navy, and we did a podcast with him as well, and all that's going to be in the newsletter, so be sure and check that out, as well as Rick Turnquist's op-ed. I've got an op-ed that's coming in as well, and so there's a lot there, and then they will be put on the website a little bit later. But Apple and Google won't build apps themselves, but have instead released the underlying technology that allows public health authorities to create their own contact tracing apps to download in the Apple Store or Google Play Store. Steve, this is all over the Fourth Amendment, that governments are actually going to start to track people's location via their cell phone. It says Alabama, North Dakota, and South Carolina are the first U.S. states to commit to using Apple and Google's technology, along with 22 countries, including Ireland, Germany, Italy, and the Netherlands. So we see this COVID-19 Wuhan virus thing as a big excuse to start to just throw the Fourth Amendment out the window. And in the show on Tuesday, which you can go to the website and get that recap, and then the podcast we're going to be doing goes through James Otis and why the Fourth Amendment is so important. And so be sure to listen to those that show and that podcast as well. Steve, your quick comment, and then we'll go to break here in just a moment.
You're assuming I have one.
I do.
Well, I, you know, tracking this tracking thing for specifically for the virus, that's pretty much escapes me. It's like locking the barn after the horse is out. But you know, keep in mind, law enforcement has been tracking cell phones or has the ability to track cell phones for the last 20 plus years. And you see it on any cop show.
So, you know what? And this whole data collection, this is, again, taking the veil off on what's going on. And this data collection is why people have been so concerned about it. And so as we're moving forward, We'll talk more about the I need to mention it. The CDC came out yesterday. We talked about it, and they said that, oh, you know what? We were just kidding. The virus does not last on surfaces as long as we thought that it did. So, you know, that was just a little headline. They've scared people out of their wits on this thing so that they can do this kind of stuff, so that they can trace us and try to shut our economy down. And we're finding out, and the truth will always come out. That's why we do this show. So we need to be pushing back on this contact tracing big time. We need to go to break. We've got an amazing show planned for you today. Before we do that, though, man, it's been tough on our restaurants and our bars and our taverns. Hooters Restaurants is a very valued partner of mine. And so drop by this weekend, sometime this weekend, and get some Hooters wings to go. You can get that. Go to order.hooters.com. And then just drive up. They'll bring it out for you. And kids eat free all day, every day, with the purchase of an adult entree. They have lunch specials. So go to order.hooters.com. And we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Karen Levine and Lauren Levy. And you won't want to miss that. We'll get an update on what's happening in the real estate market. Stay tuned.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Welcome back to The Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's KimMunson.com, MONSON.com. And go over to Facebook and give us a like as well. On the line with me is Lauren Levy. You know him. He is a mortgage specialist with Polygon Financial Group. And we want to get an update on interest rates. Maybe we're getting to some kind of stabilization. Lauren Levy, welcome to the show.
Good Friday, Kim. How are you?
Good. I can't believe Memorial Day is on Monday. Where has the time gone, Lauren Levy?
I know. It's flying.
It is. So I know that you have been busy. What is going on over here in the mortgage market?
You know, you mentioned just before I came on that things have stabilized, and they really have. As Karen will probably tell you when she comes on after me, that home buying is really on fire right now in the Denver metro area, and rates are low. And combination of people being able to refinance right now, it's been pretty busy, and it's kind of exciting.
Well, and it has, you know, I think that as we had gone through this crazy time with this COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption, I think in a way it's kind of a credit to people how we have gotten through this. We need to get back to our businesses being open and people getting back to normal, not a new normal, but a normal. If people want to refinance now, I think where I want to head with that is there's always opportunity. And you've talked about this, Lauren Levy, this opportunity with these low interest rates. So where are we at right now, kind of ballpark?
Oh, I mean, depending on people's situation, you're talking anywhere from 3.375 to 3.25 and even lower in some certain circumstances. So it's really a good time to reach out and get a mortgage checkup and see what you can qualify for.
And how do people do that, Lauren?
They can just call 303-880-8881 or go to the website www.polyfigroup.com. Either way works.
Okay. And the question is, we're coming into Memorial Day. Steve and I have been working on the show that we're putting together, and it's an interview that I did with Jody Lander, who is a World War II veteran. He was a paratrooper. He jumped in at D-Day behind enemy lines June 6, 1944. He also jumped in at Operation Market Garden, Holland, and then he was at Battle of the Bulge. And so instead of Memorial Day, you know, just being sales, you know, mattress sales and car sales, it's a time to stop and pause. What does Memorial Day mean to you, Lauren Levy?
You know, I was giving that some thought just last night, Kim, and I don't come from a military family, but, you know, as we're going through this virus and trying to do all we can with social distancing to try to keep people alive, I find it interesting that on Memorial Day we celebrate people who signed up knowing what the alternative might be based on the results of their service. And it's pretty amazing that, you know, that we honor those that knew they were putting their life on the line and willingly did so.
Well, and Lauren, as those guys were getting ready to storm Omaha Beach and Utah Beach, of course, Omaha Beach there in Normandy, France, that was the movie Saving Private Ryan was based on that. And I've talked to World War II veterans, and they said that that first scene is pretty real. But this is amazing. Those soldiers were told that their mortality rate was going to be 85%. Over here on COVID-19 is like 0.001, and we've shut down the economy. Those guys were told right. that, and it was about 85%, and those guys got in those boats, and they did it anyway, Lauren Levy.
Yep, it's just amazing. So that's what I was giving some thought to as we were getting ready to come on.
So on Memorial Day, I think we'll all just take a pause and remember all those that went before us. And Lauren Levy, you are a treasured partner of the show. I greatly appreciate it and would highly recommend that people do a mortgage checkup while these rates are down this low, because it's a great opportunity. There's always opportunity in America, Lauren Levy.
I agree. And thank you so much, Kim. Hope you and your listeners have a great holiday weekend.
Great. And then we will talk to you next week. You have a great time. Thank you so much.
You got it.
Okay. Karen Levine, RE/MAX Alliance, you know her. She is an award-winning realtor. And Lauren Levy said that the real estate market is on fire here. Is it?
Well, it is, Kim, because, you know, I've been sharing with the listeners kind of our seven-day data. And we have seen 1,980 new homes come on the market. And 2,385 homes go under contract in the last 7 days. So if anybody is getting, you know, antsy because they've been quarantined in their home these last, you know, 6-8 weeks, and they found that their home doesn't meet their needs, we have buyers out there that are very interested in buying, and we can certainly help them make a move to something that's more suitable. Because the market, our spring market, is starting to heat up. So maybe it's the summer market will be hot.
It looks like it's going to be red hot with those kinds of numbers. And Karen, you know, you and I've known each other for so long, and we were talking about things that make you unique. And you had mentioned your negotiating skills. And I think that people don't realize that good negotiating skills means that you have a successful transaction where both sides feel that they've been represented and they've done well in that. And that is one of your specialties, Karen.
It is. People ask, what do you love about what you do? And I would say negotiation is on the top of that list, because I really look at both parties. Obviously, in most cases, I am representing one and advocating for one over the other. But if you know what's important to your party, the one that you're looking out for, but you also know what the goals of the other party are, and you're able to meet some of the most important goals of both parties and do it strategically, when you come to the closing table, people feel very successful and well taken care of. And I think, you know, in our industry, we refer to that as a win-win negotiation. And I really strive to make sure that my clients are well taken care of, that they're advocated for, and that we look at possibilities of how we can give in a transaction to the other party, to their benefit, but also to the benefit of my client. And that's what makes it a win-win.
And win-win is always a great place to be. So, Karen, we have just about a minute left. First of all, if people want to talk with you, your phone number is 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516. Memorial Day, it's hard to believe it's this Monday. But what does Memorial Day mean to you? What's your thoughts about that?
Well, as Lauren said, I hadn't given it much thought. It's kind of the start of summer. It is, you know, the kickoff to hopefully warm weather, which I think historically it always rains on Memorial Day, which makes it a really sober day, and it should be, because men and women went out to fight for our nation, for our freedoms. And they gave their lives for that. And so in reflecting, I think I mentioned last week, we had just come off our legislative meetings at the Realtor Association. We did those virtually this year, but my favorite part of those meetings, in addition to the learning and finding out what's going on at the Hill, is visiting those memorials in D.C. And they are very sobering when you see the Vietnam Wall or the Korean monument or World War II. Each one of those depict a time in our nation when men and women gave of their lives. And I appreciate you asking the question because it really put a perspective on why we celebrate that holiday and that it's not just about barbecue and family, but it is about the freedom that we fought so hard for here in America.
And it's because of that that we get to do barbecue and family on Memorial Day. It's all connected.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, well, you have a great weekend, Karen. And again, you are a valued partner of mine. You're a good friend. I greatly appreciate you. So you have a wonderful weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
You do the same, Kim. And we just wish the listeners a good start to the summer.
Most definitely. So have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week, Karen Levine.
Thank you.
Okay, Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. What's going on with this market right now?
Gosh, Kim, we finally got yesterday what I would call kind of a boring day. You know, the Dow was down 100. It was just kind of a quiet, normal day. So it looks like this morning we'll start off up a little bit. But I'm not surprised that we're hitting. Maybe we're down a little yesterday. The Dow got up to about 24,764 back at the end of April, and I mean it just came right back up to it over the last couple of days. So that's a little bit of resistance there, Kim. The S&P 500 also is coming to a little bit of resistance in this area. The 200-day moving average sits right at 3,000, and it doesn't always create resistance, especially on an index, but it's worth watching. If the S&P could bust above 3,000 with some real oomph, I think that would be a good sign.
Okay, just a question.
Yeah.
Is a day before like a big weekend when people maybe are starting to leave, you know, to go on holiday, is there opportunities sometimes on a day like this, or is it just kind of a ho-hum day? What's your experience over all the years?
Well, you know, there's always the possibility of opportunity on a day like this, Kim, if you're really watching closely. Usually the trading volume will slow down, especially later in the day. Sometimes if you have stocks that don't trade a lot of volume, maybe they're smaller ones or more thinly traded, occasionally you might get some unexpected price movement there, which could create an opportunity. But I don't know that there's any specific pattern to it, so nothing you could set your watch by that I'm aware of.
Okay. And one other question, Jason McBride. We highlighted this this headline about Hong Kong where in the legislature where they there was actually scuffles on the floor where the pro-Beijing, pro-China group actually kind of kicked the pro-democracy people out and then took a vote. Do you think that's going to affect the market today at all?
Well, the futures overnight, Kim, seemed to be pretty shook up about it, but by the time we got here to this morning, you know, right now the S&P and the Dow futures are up just slightly. I think it did have somewhat of an effect, but I think the market's kind of saying, now was this kind of a challenge to America or was it not? And I think it's kind of waiting to see maybe what we have to say about it and what happens next.
Aha. Okay. Well, that will be interesting to find out. So I wish you and your family a very blessed Memorial Day, Jason McBride. I can't believe that we're kicking off summer here, but again, it'll be a time to stop and remember of all those that did or were willing to put their lives on the line for this great American idea, Jason McBride.
Boy, no doubt about that, Kim. And I would just say I think the effort that you put into doing your veteran show, interviewing these great warriors, I don't know anybody else that's doing that on a weekly basis. So I think that you deserve a great degree of appreciation here in Denver for doing something so neat like that.
Well, Jason, thank you. And I will tell you, it is my honor and it is changing my life because it makes sure that, you know, this what we do every day. You are a treasure partner as well. That what we are doing is we are battling in this battle of ideas for the American idea. And right here in Colorado, we are on the you know, at the tip of the spear with what we see is happening there. And I feel a great responsibility that we stand on the shoulders of giants, from those that fought against Britain during the Revolutionary War all the way up to right now. And I know that you feel that as well. So I really appreciate you, Jason McBride.
Well, I appreciate you too, Kim. And we'll talk to you Monday.
Sounds like a plan. Let's go to break. When we come back, Rick Turnquist. I tell you, this guy does amazing pieces. It's on my website right now, The Perfect Storm. You'll want to take a look at the image that Zach put together with that. But this is very important information. Let's go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Rick Turnquist and his op-ed, The Perfect Storm.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
Did you know Hooters wings can fly? That's right. Your favorite wings can be picked up for to-go and can even be delivered right to your doorstep. Take advantage of Hooters' delicious lunch specials, like our seaworthy Baja fish tacos, mouthwatering Western burger, or our new roasted wings. Lunch specials are available to go Monday through Friday from 11:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. Curbside service available. Place your order online at order.hooters.com. Get your wings to fly only at Hooters.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Podcast of the show can be found there, as well as our op-eds, all kinds of great information. And go over to Facebook and give us a like as well. On the line with me is Rick Turnquist. You know him. He is an author. He's a blogger. And the pieces that he, the amount of work that he puts into these op-eds is very important. It helps you understand what is going on out there. I think that many times these radical activist progressives are trying to keep people confused. There's all kinds of chaos. And Rick does an amazing job of really looking at these issues. And this important piece, The Perfect Storm, is on my website right now. So, Rick Turnquist, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim. Thank you. And, you know, before we get started, I just wanted to take a second to echo what Jason was just talking about in terms of, you know, this being Memorial Day weekend and, you know, in honor of our veterans. I did not serve in the military myself, but I have many friends who have, and you know, I highly respect their service and appreciate what they did, and I especially enjoy your World War II veteran series as well, because that's important work, and you know, I think that you should be commended for doing that. And in that light, I'd also like to congratulate you on receiving the Vern Bickel Award from the Independence Institute. You know, it's a highly prestigious award, and it's well deserved for your service to freedom and liberty and the constitutional republic that our founders left us.
Well, Rick Turnquist, thank you. Yes, it is my honor to get to interview these veterans, and I'm super, super jazzed about this award. So thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And I so appreciate your voice. And before we get into that, though, a friend of yours is having a golf tournament, and you wanted to make sure that we highlighted that.
Yeah, thanks for mentioning that, Kim. So my friend Aaron Boyd runs a nonprofit called Angel Shield Foundation, and they're having their first annual charity golf tournament this July on the 17th. It's going to be at Meadows Golf Club in Littleton. And basically the format will be a four-person scramble with a shotgun start at 7:30 in the morning. And it's going to be a lot of fun, and they've already got a lot of great sponsors lined up. They say the tournament's going to go ahead regardless of any silly viruses that are out there. So you know, I highly encourage everybody who wants to get out and enjoy a good day of golf to raise money for a good cause. Angel Shield is a 501c3 charity, and their primary purpose in raising funds is to support and provide mental health resources in our schools, and to equip school facilities and houses of worship with updated safety and security measures. And, you know, it's a great organization. Aaron and his team are doing a really great job of putting this all together. And, you know, it's a worthy cause. You know, we all want our kids to be safe in school, and, you know, with all the heightened awareness around, you know, school shootings and stuff, I think that this is a very important cause to kind of address some of the root causes of mental health and enhanced security. So I'd highly recommend you to go to golf.angelshield.org and either sponsor or register or both for this great golf tournament.
Sounds like fun. I know people are ready to get out and see each other again, so that sounds like a great event. Let's jump in here regarding your op-ed that is on my website, The Perfect Storm. Go ahead and start this. Where do you want to go with this, Rick Turnquist?
Well, let's just start off with a word of praise to Zach for his graphic. I never send in an image with my blogs to him because I know that he's going to come up with something really innovative and good. So I really, when I saw it, I was like, oh, this is great.
It is awesome. So take a look at that. So the perfect storm. What's happening here in Colorado?
Well, what's happening is that our legislature is facing an unprecedented fiscal storm, and there's several reasons that are accounting for this this coming storm. The first and the foremost is the government's response to the COVID-19 virus, and when they shut down the Colorado's shutdown, the progressive wish list of ever increasing government programs and expenditures, hostility to the oil and gas industry, and radically reduced tax revenues, you know, our state government is facing some really really tough choices. And to just kind of recap, you know, the coronavirus came to Colorado in early March. I've been keeping records, and the first documented case was on March 5th. By the 11th, Governor Polis had declared a state of emergency. On the 16th, he issued a public health order, which ordered certain, and you can't see my air quotes, but they're there, non-essential businesses to close. On March 26th, he issued another order, which ordered Coloradans to stay at home. That's now been modified to a safer at home. And, you know, as a result of this, our economy, which is formerly one of the strongest in the country, in part thanks to Tabor, went into a nosedive. And unemployment claims have surged over 451,000 claims since early March. And that represents about 14% of the state's workforce. And our state employment fund, which is funded through premiums, again, the air quotes, paid by employers and by borrowing money, is expected to run out of funds by July. And the state government is going to borrow money from the federal government to pay benefits. So it's highly likely they'll raise premiums on employers or impose a so-called solvency surcharge, which just puts even more pressure on businesses across the state. And, you know, our state, our business community in the state is just, you know, reeling from this. And, you know, we all know, you know, many of us know Jen Hulin, who owns Water's Edge Winery. You know, she's struggling to keep her life stream and her life savings that she's invested in her business afloat. And, you know, several iconic names, you know, have closed their doors forever. And, you know, it's a real tragedy. It's a real human tragedy. That people are losing their jobs and their livelihoods and their dreams and their homes and all kinds of things because of this government action and shutting down the economy.
So, Rick, you mentioned borrowing this money from the federal government. First of all, the federal government, you know, the debt has just ballooned significantly. And we're seeing this. All these blue state governors, which have made these decisions that have gotten their states into significant financial distress, now are going to the federal government, meaning they want to borrow money from their neighbors or from future generations for their actions that have really made it difficult for their state economies. There seems something wrong about that. They make it, it's like you make decision on your own finances, and so there's somebody over here, your red states, that have been pretty responsible. So you have a neighbor that's pretty responsible. They save. They may, instead of going out every weekend, they make the decisions to stay home. And then you realize that, you know, neighbor B has gotten themselves into financial distress, and then they're going over to all their neighbors saying, hey, give me money, and oh, by the way, we want your kids to pay for our stuff too. And that seems like there's something wrong with that, Rick Turnquist.
Oh, there's something very wrong with that. And, you know, it's funny, Kim, I'm glad you mentioned that, because, you know, a lot of the progressives, they think that more government is the answer to this pandemic. And I've noticed that they're all too eager to have elected officials like Governor Polis and unelected bureaucrats like the executive director of the Tri-County Health Board issue orders, mandates, directives, and restrictions. And it really doesn't make any difference if these are allowed under the law or the Constitution. The progressives are just giddy with glee at the expansion of government power and scope and tanking the economy, which they incidentally will, they think that'll hurt President Trump's reelection prospects. And, you know, because this is the way they think, we see increased demands for everything from paid family leave to expanded unemployment to demands for all male voting. You know, Congress passed the $2 trillion Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act, or they call it CARES. I hate the way they come up with all these silly acronyms.
I know.
And then the next, you know, not to be outdone, they recently passed a $3 trillion bill, which is really inappropriately named the HEROES Act. And this contains additional $1 trillion in handouts for state, local, and tribal governments, and provides for another round of direct payments to individuals of up to $6,000 per family, and includes payments to undocumented immigrants. And, you know, there's a thing in the Wall Street Journal this morning about how, you know, government is incenting people to stay out of work, which will, you know, prolong the spike in unemployment and delay the economic recovery. And so, you know, whether they're acting out of compassion or cynicism, I don't know, but the unintended effect or the unintended consequence of these so-called compassionate things is just to create a problem for people in going back to work. So it just doesn't make any sense. It's not the role of government. And I put a little sidebar in the blog post, and I think it's you know, you just pointed out, you know, it's worth remembering that the federal government does not create wealth. It may print money, but it doesn't create the value behind the money. All government expenditures are funded in one of two ways: by taking money from productive citizens by force or by borrowing. And this is why we have a $25 trillion national debt and our nation is heading towards bankruptcy. So we don't have a – and when you talk about borrowing, you know, we're talking about borrowing from – that future generations will have to repay. We're also talking about borrowing – you know, China is our largest creditor, and they're also, you know – not our friend. And if you study, you know, geopolitics and national security issues at all, you'll realize that, you know, for us to have our supply chain in China, you know, largely based in China, and China holding so much of our debt, you know, it's just a recipe for disaster.
So we need to get this spending under control. And I hope that the federal government does not bail out all of these blue state governors that are making decisions to close down their economies, which means they have no revenue coming in. And then these blue state governors want to go, as we saw Jared Polis, he got on the airplane and he went to Washington, D.C. to ask Donald Trump for money. And the answer needs to be like a parent that wants their kids to be responsible. The answer on that needs to be no. Let's go to break, and Rick Turnquist, when we come back, let's continue with the important information that you have put together on the perfect storm. This is Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's kimmunson.com. One other thing regarding that due date too late, that website is 120.coloradokids.com. ColoradoKidsFirst.org. That's 120.ColoradoKidsFirst.org. You can go there and see if, in fact, the Colorado Secretary of State took your signature. If not, you'll need to re-sign these petitions that are out there. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
A recent study finds that COVID-19 economic disruption could force half of small businesses to close within 6 months. Local small business owner Jen Hewlin, Waters Edge Winery, who pledged her home for the loan to start her business, chose to fully open her business last week. As a reasonable individual, she had agreed to a pause in her business until we could better understand COVID-19. The curve has been flattened. There are enough respirators. Effective treatments are available. But the bureaucrats at Tri-County Health said no and shut her down. Jen is fighting for her economic life. Help her with legal costs and operating expenses. Go to KimMunson.com for the link to help Jen through her crowdfunding campaign.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, KimMunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out the website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. It comes out on Sundays and has all this important information. There will be the op-eds, the podcast in there. And on the line with me is Rick Turnquist. And Rick, before I forget, we need to make sure that you give the address for your blog. How can people reach that?
Right. Well, my blog is called To Advance Freedom. It's toadvancefreedom.com. And, you know, there's a I write about a lot of things, you know, defense of Second Amendment and Colorado politics. Budgets and taxes are topics near and dear to my heart. So there's also a good couple of posts I put up last year on the progressive advantage in Colorado that I encourage everybody to look at, but, you know, as this election season heats up over the next several months.
Yeah, great stuff there, as well as the op-eds that you have over here on our website as well. Now, Rick Turnquist, Patty had found this particular headline. It says, Governor Polis and the legislative leadership announced an agreement on the disbursement of federal CARES Act funds to immediately respond to the COVID-19 health and economic crisis. This money came through the CARES Act. It was supposed to go to counties and municipalities, and Governor Polis basically hijacked that. And they've determined where they're going to put about $1.674 billion. I think it was a little over $2 billion. And then the other amount, he's going to have the legislature determine where that money's supposed to go. That was never the way it was supposed to happen. But it looks to me like he's trying to backfill a $3.3 billion shortfall. So what's your thoughts on that, Rick?
Well, it just is another example of how government funds, you know, often end up going to the wrong things and causing the wrong results. And so, you know, for Governor Polis to do something like this, you know, my understanding of the intention of the CARES Act was to help small businesses and individuals who have been affected by this government shutdown. And now, as you said, he's taken, you know, he's arbitrarily, you know, and I think this executive power thing is going to his head because, you know, as Steve mentioned, you know, we see the words executive order a lot. And we have, you know, the governor, you know, just arbitrarily deciding that he's going to grab, you know, a couple billion dollars of this money to try to plug a budget shortfall. And yeah, that's you know, it's whether it's legal or not, I don't know. I'm not an attorney, but, you know, it certainly is contrary to the intention of the Congress when they passed the CARES Act.
Well, and by these executive orders, he has basically shut down the Colorado economy. And as you mentioned, the wording has gone from flatten the curve to you know, safer at home, which is, it's crazy. You know, we need to get this economy opened back up.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, I've looked at, you know, well, you know, I wanted to just touch on, you know, one thing that I think everybody should be aware of, and that's that, you know, Democrats have been agitating against, you know, the rights of property owners for quite some time. And the latest example of that is this act that Ilhan Omar and Ocasio-Cortez introduced in the Congress called the Rent Mortgage Cancellation Act, which would basically trash property rights in this country. And I know that's an important subject. You know, we need to fight for our property rights or there's nothing left. And, you know, basically this would establish a government relief fund using taxpayer money to cover landlords and mortgage holders to cover losses from canceled payments. But what's really insidious and immoral about this bill is the fact that it would require those who participate to agree to many government restrictions, including agreeing not to raise rents for a period of time and also to give tenants an ownership stake in the property. And that's just, you know, that's just crazy. For, you know, I read that, I just couldn't believe that was actually under serious consideration in the United States Congress.
Okay, let's just unpack that just a little bit then, Rick Turnquist. So this particular act, like you say, has all these different restrictions and all, but it would give the renter a 10% ownership in the property, which means that it would never be sold.
Right.
Right? I mean, you would have to have that permission to actually sell it, it seems like. I mean, it would basically shut down the real estate market, people buying and selling homes. It's astonishing to me.
It is astonishing. And so the intention of the act is to say there's a, I think it's a 1 year moratorium on rent and mortgage payments. But, you know, when you think about it, you know, most property owners are not, you know, billion-dollar corporations. It's, you know, a friend of mine owns a rental property, and, you know, he charges his tenants rent. And if they don't pay him rent, then how is he going to cover the mortgage on that property himself? Well, you know, there's a chain, you know, and if one link in the chain breaks, then the whole chain is broken. And that's the way our economy works, which progressives don't seem to understand how economies work. But this bill would you know, say, well, you can use this government money to cover your losses if you're a mortgage holder or a landlord. But then if you have to give an equity stake or you know, be precluded from introducing market rent rates, you know, if you're too high, you can lower it to be competitive. If you're too low, you can raise it to be competitive. It's just, you know, it's really an evil bill. And we're running out of time, but I wanted to just kind of touch on, you know, the budget crunch that's happening when the state legislature reconvenes, which they shouldn't because they have 120 consecutive days, which have now expired. They're going to need to pass a budget, and they're going to have to deal with a $3.3 billion shortfall. And the reason for that shortfall is because income taxes are cut way down. Sales and use taxes are cut way down because they've shut down the economy. So they're going to have to make some real choices. And, you know, last year, you and I took a little bit of a deep dive into the Colorado state budget. And, you know, we see that there's a lot of unnecessary things in there. So for the government to have to cut down on government spending is not something that I'm going to lose any sleep over. And, you know, it's really the only real answer is to reopen the economy. You know, we know that this virus is deadly. But we also know that there's a lot of other deadly things out there. Heart disease and cancer are the number one and two causes of death in the United States. You know, there's several other causes of death that are higher. We know that COVID-19 is a contagious disease, but we don't know exactly how contagious or how deadly it is because there's varying data sets out there, and who knows what the truth really is. So, you know, I think that if we allow free businesses to open and take what measures they deem necessary to protect the safety of their employees and customers, and let free people make decisions on what they're going to do based on their own personal risk assessments, then I think we'll go a long way towards reopening our economy, preserving jobs, preserving livelihoods, preserving small businesses, and reinstating this cash flow to our state government so that the government can provide the legitimate functions of government, which is law enforcement and a court system, and some may say roads and bridges and the like. But all these transfer payments and other things that the government does, cutting those out will not make me lose any sleep at all.
Well, and I think that is one of the positives of this whole COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption is we're going to have to really take a look at those things. So, Rick Turnquist, thank you so much. And be sure and go to my website and read this op-ed. It is so well done. So, Rick Turnquist, wishing you a great weekend.
Thanks, Kim. And you have a great Memorial Day weekend, too, with your family. And I appreciate being on the show today.
Okay, great job. And so our quote for today is a former Associate Supreme Court Justice Louis Brandeis. He said, the most important political office is that of the private citizen. So when we talk about local control, that's the place to start. So today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. And this weekend, take a pause and thank each and every man and woman that put on that uniform to stand against tyranny and evil. So this is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America. Young, like a